In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. A fellow named Dean Sanderson tells this story. This was back in 2017. Dean worked on an oil rig out in the Atlantic Ocean. It was a good job, but other things were not going well for him in his life. He had marriage problems, he had financial problems, and most cutting, he suffered from bipolar disorder and had been currently enduring a long stint of depression. So one night during a rather wicked thunderstorm, Dean Sanderson decided he was going to end it all. In the middle of the storm, he climbed the ladder to a high platform and was about to leap into the dark waves below. As he began to climb over the railing, he heard something over the wind. Much to his surprise, one of Dean's co-workers was on the platform below him, calling for help. This co-worker had gotten his safety harness caught on the structure, and he could not free himself. So Dean climbed back down to that level, helped him get unstuck, and then together they went back into the bunkhouse. Funny thing is, Dean didn't recognize this co-worker, and the next morning, when everyone was up and about, Dean couldn't locate him anywhere, and no one else seemed to have any idea who Dean was talking about. And in the month he was on the rig, he never saw that co-worker again. Here's another story. A woman named Maya Nyberg was having a nervous breakdown in her postpartum months. In the middle of the night, 2 summers ago, so that'd be 2019, Maya left her husband, her 2 pre-K daughters, and her home and drove into the night with her twin baby boys, unbuckled, lying on the back seat of the car. Maya did not have any idea where she was heading. She had no plan. This was purely irrational motion. She just drove away recklessly at very high speeds. And she says, more to escape herself, she said, than her worried family. And at one point on a lonely stretch of interstate, Maya's car starts to sputter and to stall. She'd run out of gas. Now, there happened to be an exit there, so Maya took it. But it was a ramp that sloped gently upward, and her car stopped about 200 yards from the crest, the lights of an all-night gas station teasing from the other side of this crest. But in that moment, Maya slowly came to her senses, kind of came out of her mania, and realized where she was but didn't know what to do. She couldn't carry both babies that far. She couldn't leave them in the car. She didn't have her phone with her. Just then, a woman pulls up behind Maya and taps the driver's side window. "Put your car in neutral and I'll push you up over the crest," she said. "You should be able to coast to the gas station." Maya obeyed, and sure enough, this woman had the strength to get her car rolling up and over that gentle crest, and she coasted safely next to a gas pump. A minute or two later, the woman comes up, puts a hand on Maya's shoulder, and Maya says she felt a sense of peace that she'd never felt before. The woman said, "Go home to your girls and your husband. Together you'll find the care that you need." How the stranger knew, Maya never found out. Now, these two incidents are both sworn to be true stories. I have no way of proving them to be true, but I also have no reason to doubt them either. But I share them with you for a reason, because they shed light on something we heard this morning. In our gospel lesson today, a young man named Nathanael is introduced to Jesus by his friend Philip. Philip is quite excited about this Jesus and believes he may, in fact, be the Messiah. He may be the Savior that everybody has been waiting for in Israel for all those generations. Nathanael, however, is skeptical. He's waited so long, he's seen enough false prophets, enough scammers to not get his hopes up too fast. Nathanael wants the Messiah to come, to be sure. I mean, that's what he wants as much as the next person. But he just doesn't want to get duped. He doesn't want those hopes dashed again. When Nathanael meets Jesus, Jesus says to him, now here comes a fella without a drop of deception in his blood. I paraphrase, but that's what he's saying. Here comes a fella who's never been deceitful in his life. Nathanael, being someone who prides himself on being truthful, realizes, well, that is true about me. So he asks Jesus, how do you know me? I mean, nowadays, if a stranger were to walk up to you and tell you something personal about yourself, you'd maybe be a little creeped out, or you'd think, you know, they're stalking me on social media or something. Well, there's no social media. There's no way to look somebody up back then. So Nathanael is perplexed how Jesus knows this about him. Jesus responds saying, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I saw you. A very simple statement. And Nathanael comes out with this most incredible response. Jesus says, I saw you under a tree, here to the skeptic. And Nathanael responds by saying, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Does that response not seem a little over the top to someone that merely said, I saw you under a tree? Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael gasps, you can hear it. You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Quite the turnaround for someone who seconds before was a skeptic. Well, perhaps the Lord's words were something more than just, I saw you over there under the tree. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe the Savior's words meant something more along the lines of, remember what you saw under the tree. Remember what you witnessed under the fig tree. That was me. That was me. That makes more sense of Nathanael's over-the-top response. That brings us back to Dean Sanderson and Maya Nyberg. You know, both of them in their stories believe they were visited by Jesus, or at least by one of his angels. They swear to it. Now, if someone were to come up to one of them and say, I saw you at the grocery store, I saw you at the city park, the answer would probably be, oh, gee, that's nice. But if someone the next day had said to Dean, remember the oil rig? That was me who saw you on top. That would be totally different. That would be totally different. There's a reference to a previous encounter going on there. Or if someone said to Maya, remember the off-ramp? That's where we first saw each other. You see what I'm saying? There must have been a reference to something that had already happened, because a reference to an encounter changes everything, and there must have been something between Jesus and Nathanael under the fig tree that had happened previously. Maybe a divine vision, maybe the saving of his life, we don't know. But it's more than just, I saw you over there. There must have been an encounter that is being referenced. And we'll never know. We'll never know because it isn't told to us, and we're probably not supposed to know because it's supposed to point us to something different. The lesson given to us, the reason they don't tell us what that encounter was, is so that we think of our encounters, so that we think of what has happened to us. There's a lesson here for you and me, not just to figure out what happened to Nathanael. And the lesson is, are we paying enough attention to the visits of God that if he were to come and say, I saw you here, or I saw you here, we'd even recognize that as an encounter coming from God? Or are we so preoccupied that we don't recognize his visits? You know, God visits you, God visits me, God visits each one of us in various ways all the time, all the time. Sometimes dramatically, occasionally dramatically, like with Dean and Maya and apparently Nathanael, but more often in subtle ways. God visits you in the voice of a child. God visits you in a pair of eyes you might see on the news. God might visit you in a melody that pulls you to a place of sheer hope or sheer joy. You know, Lent is given to us as a time to reopen our eyes and reopen our ears. And this lesson comes right at the beginning, telling us, just like Nathanael had to remember that encounter, we too need to remember our encounters. Because I think too often, if God were to say, remember that breath of peace I gave you at 10 o'clock yesterday, that if we're going to be honest, we'd have to say, oh, I guess I didn't notice that. Because too often we are going from place to place to place, from moment to moment to moment. We don't stop to notice the times that God comes to us. And that's why we need Lent. That's why we need this time to slow down at least the heart, slow down at least the mind, and slow down at least the soul if we can't slow down the schedule. But how much better if we could recover our inner Nathaniel so that not only during this season, but hopefully going forward from it, if Christ comes and says to you, "Remember over by the tree yesterday, that was me." Instead of having to say, "Actually, I wasn't paying attention." If instead we could say, "Lord, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Amen.